Hi, everybody, and welcome to Mecha Dragon, a podcast about all the geeky and nerdy stuff you love. Brought to you by Captain Geek and the Dark Nerd. I'm your Captain Will.
And I'm your nerd, Jess.
Today, we're talking about Spider-Man Far From Home, the newest offering in the MCU from Marvel Studios / Disney, wherein we get our first glimpse of the post-Endgame MCU. So this particular episode, we are just going to be doing a non-spoiler review of Spider-Man Far From Home. So there will be no spoilers in this particular episode. We're going to save that for the next episode. So why don't we just get started with our overall general impressions of Spider-Man Far From Home. Dark Nerd Jess, go.
Spider-Man Far From Home, I thought, was pretty good. It's, you know, a lot of the same characters we already know from Homecoming and the MCU altogether. But, yeah, it was a really good story. I liked the way they worked on the different relationships between the characters. And the end of the movie really shook me, as it did, I'm sure, most of you who've seen it. But, yeah, it was very adventurous. It had a couple cool twists and turns through the storyline. It was entertaining and funny.
All right. You know, my general impressions are, I did really enjoy this movie. I think that they have been hitting it out of the park with this new Spider-Man, mm-hmm. Tom Holland's Spider-Man. Yeah. Of course, all the actors were fantastic. I was really impressed with the writing of this movie. In a way, a lot more so than the previous Spider-Man movie. Spider-Man Homecoming, even though that was also a movie that I really enjoyed, I just think there were some extra layers in Spider-Man Far From Home. It really had a depth to it. And that's not to say that it was all super serious and more of an artsy Spider-Man film. No, it was a big action, you know, MCU Spider-Man film that you would expect from Marvel and I guess Sony at this point. But it did have some more layers to the onion, this one, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Or at least those layers went a little deeper. Yeah. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I think, like I said, with the relationships, they're forming different relationships between the characters, both good and evil.
Well, I think the relationships between the characters we're familiar with are evolving, you know, which I think is something that a sequel should do. But, you know, I have to say that when I first saw the trailers for Spider-Man Far From Home, because they have Mysterio in those trailers. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Mysterio actually looks really, really like the visual design of him in this movie, you know, with his entire costume on, is very, very faithful to the Mysterio of the comics, right? And that's cool. I like them to be faithful to the comics where it makes sense in a cinematic medium. But I have to say that I actually found the trailers to be kind of off-putting in the sense that it was like, wow, Mysterio looks really corny to me.
Really?
That's just how I felt looking at the trailers. Like, I was definitely in for the movie and in for, you know, the next Spider-Man. But there was just something to me, personally, I mean, even though it was very faithful, to me, it was kind of like if when the first X-Men movie came out, if they showed Wolverine like in the yellow like spandex.
Yellow and blue,
It looks really cool in the comics, but in real life, not so much.
And Wolverine's hair would have to be 3 times bigger.
Right, and he'd have to be only half the height of Hugh Jackman and like twice as wide.
Huge
and stuff like that.
Had the opposing view. I always thought, I never really read much about Mysterio in the comics or anything, so I'm not familiar with his story, but I always thought his original just overall design was kind of corny. And then I heard he was getting to be in the movie and I was like, wishy-washy. And then I saw I thought he looked awesome in the trailers and in the movie itself. I thought, I mean, that's how you take something that I thought was corny and make it look cool. You know what I mean?
Well, it makes sense for what Mysterio Quentin Beck himself has to say about his character, I guess, in all of this. And okay, fine. I like it in the comics. But for some reason, when I saw it in the movie, or saw in the trailer for the movie, I just wasn't quite on, I just didn't quite like it so much. But having said that, I really enjoyed that character in the movie for various reasons that I don't want to spoil in this particular episode. But I will say, but I will say that he's a really interesting character that I'm glad they brought into the MCU. And I like how he was handled in the movie. And I really like, by the way, how Spider-Man was handled in the movie. Okay, so this is something that I'm just going to kind of touch on because, again, no spoilers in this episode. But you know how the thing with Spider-Man is with great power comes great responsibility.
Great responsibility.
That's sort of the, you know, the baseline theme for Spider-Man and always has been. And I think that this movie, Spider-Man Far From Home, was very, very true to that. You know, because in order for Peter to be the hero in this movie, he really did have to make some sacrifices. And, you know, it was a great responsibility to do the things that he had to do. Right. You know, he just wants to be a kid, basically. But he's got to, you know, he's got to cowboy up and take care of business, even though it hurts him in a few different ways.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. Like you mentioned, he wants to remain a kid. He wants to be a kid. The same thing, well, that's what makes Spider-Man movies different, is because he is younger, and he's still hanging out with all his friends from school and going to school. So all the other movies with all the Avengers, they're all adults, and they just go, you know, kick butt and take names.
See, this is why I'm so glad that they cast Tom Holland when he was like 17 or something, because he actually looks like a kid. Like, he does not
actually looks 11.
Yeah, he does not look like, you know, like a mid to late 20s or early 30s person trying to play a high school kid like Tobey Maguire. Like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies, or at least the first two. But I love this Spider-Man because he is a kid. And if you look at the difference, the contrast between him and all the other MCU superheroes, like, think about it. Like, A, he's a kid versus Tony Stark, who's an adult, you know, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist, etc. Mm-hmm. Thor, who's, you know, the god of thunder. Black Widow, who's like a super assassin spy. You know, Clint Barton, Hawkeye, who's like a super spy.
And this kid still has to get A's and clean his room.
Right, exactly. So he's also, I mean, yes, he's also like a very, very smart, brilliant kid, but like, he's a normal person. You know, he has to dumpster dive to find like a CD player. You know, he's barely able to like afford that apartment with his aunt in Queens. I'm sure he doesn't pay for it. And interestingly, like, he's the most street-level MCU hero, I think. And, you know, the Netflix Marvel shows focused on this sort of, like, street-level superheroes, you know, with Luke Cage and Jessica Jones and Daredevil. And that's cool and everything. But, like, Spider-Man kind of fits into that mold, too. Like, you know, he's been a part of, like, the last Avengers movie and everything, but most of the time, he just tries to be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. And that was very much on display in this movie as well, I think.
Yeah.
How would you rate the funny factor of the movie in terms of, you know, because we expect a certain level of humor in these MCU movies now, even though it's often alongside very dramatic, emotionally intense stakes and things like that. But like, how would you rate the humor in this one? Did it work for you? Did it fall flat?
I thought it really came through for me. Like I said, with Peter and the kids going off on a trip overseas, almost every scene where he's around his classmates and friends, whether or not there is serious stuff, they always worked in some sort of slapstick or something like that, that, you know, made me and the whole audience laugh. Yeah, I liked it. And that was balanced really well throughout the movie. It didn't, like, start off funny and then you got 65 minutes of action. It was just peppered throughout, and I really liked it.
Mm-hmm. I really liked how they weaved in the different characters into this one. Like, basically what I'm thinking of, and this is in the trailers, but, like, Happy Hogan's in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that they used him And I thought that they used him like really, really well in the movie. It wasn't a matter of, oh, well, he's in it for 3 seconds and that's all we get, and so that's kind of disappointing. No, that was not the case. And it also was not the case that he was like in it too much. I thought it was a perfect balance of, you know, a little bit of Happy Hogan here, a little bit of Happy Hogan there. And not only that, but like he wasn't just there for a couple like throwaway jokes. Like he actually like played an important supporting role in the movie.
Right. Yeah. And his character's growing along with the other characters too, leading more towards future issues.
And that's actually something we haven't seen a lot from Happy Hogan through the MCU character growth. He's always been kind of
He was the limo driver.
Like semi-bumbling.
Now he's turning more into like Batman's Alfred, you know?
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't think about it that way.
Huh. Yeah, it's kind of who he was to Tony.
He's like Peter's Alfred. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So I guess that's – I can't think of many other things to say really without
– Did you have any criticisms?
Some of the things – you know what? I'll say this. Some of the things that I went into the movie thinking that I would be – that criticisms that I thought I would have going into the movie, like just from looking at the trailer and stuff like that leading up to the movie, ended up not being – bad for me in the movie.
Right.
You know, ended up not being things I wanted to criticize because, you know, the trailers don't tell you everything about the movie, and actually Marvel is really good about not revealing the whole freaking plot of the movie in the trailer.
Yeah.
Which is something that a lot of movies have done over the years and which I hate because then it's like, well, I feel like I watched that whole movie now.
Yeah, I was pretty when I saw the one trailer, I was like, whoa, Mysterio, is he fighting Sandman? Are we getting Sandman again?
Right.
So I was excited to see the return of Sandman, because I've always liked that character.
So let's just sum up. How would you sum up your overall thoughts on the movie without spoiling anything?
It really makes me excited to see what they're doing next. I'm really looking forward, probably in, 3 years, to the next Spider-Man movie. And they've really worked a lot on the character relationships on all levels. And it makes me more into caring about seeing the next one. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like I'm beginning to like the characters more and more.
The supporting and characters, you mean, other than just Spider-Man? Yeah.
Yeah, correct. Everyone's really getting fleshed out in really good ways. No, there's really no one that I don't like.
And if you had to describe an overall feeling that you got from the film, you know, by the end of it, how would you describe that, you know, in terms of the emotion that it awakened within you?
It was one of those feel-good movies, you know, they throw that term around. Basically, it had me on the edge of my seat, had me laughing, had me concerned, you know, I was mystified a little bit. But yeah, overall, just a good movie, feel-good, happy.
Okay.
Not to name one of the characters in it, but made me happy.
I feel that the movie is actually very timely, and this is something that we're going to cover more in the next podcast when we actually talk spoilers. But for now, I'll just say that it was very timely and topical, but not in a way that felt at all preachy or was like, it was definitely not like hitting you over the head with like the quote-unquote message or theme of the movie, but I felt
like
that,
hey, look, it's the female Avengers.
right something, you know, it wasn't heavy-handed at all, but I thought it actually asked a lot of questions that are relevant to, you know, life today in our society. And again, done in a very entertaining way. It was not, you know, preachy. It does what a good movie does when a movie explores any topic, which is to, you know, explore a concept or concepts and maybe pose some questions. And I came out of the movie theater really thinking about that stuff. That's one of the big takeaways from the movie for me, which I think that kind of thing can be really difficult to do in like a summer blockbuster superhero action movie. You know what I mean? Is like while remaining like, you know, true to just being like a fun popcorn movie.
Right. Yeah, and there weren't any slow parts for me. It's like there wasn't like a character that I didn't care about. So when they were on scene, it's like, okay, whatever.
Oh yeah,
it was all, you know, really well paced and
absolutely, yeah, I liked absolutely well paced. Engaging. So there are also a lot of Easter eggs in it for you know, big time, you know, hardcore comics and Spider-Man fans, oh, yeah, and MCU fans. So everybody will have fun kind of picking those out while they're watching it. But, you know, that's just a couple things that really stood out to me. I mean, overall, generally, I really enjoyed it. It was a really fun ride. You know, it was also, you know, it did have its somber moments because it is the first post-Endgame MCU movie that we get.
Right.
And so, you know, Peter was also dealing with, let's just say, the events of that movie and how things sort of shook out after Endgame. So
The snappening,
a.k.a. the blip.
The blip. Blipageddon.
The blipageddon. All right. So, all right, let's finish by rating the movie. So out of 10, how many spiders would you give this movie?
I would say I'd give it a solid 7.5.
Solid 7.5.
7.5. Okay. It was better than I expected, but not quite up to Infinity War / Endgame, of course.
Yeah, it's kind of hard.
A little less epic.
It's kind of hard to beat kinda Infinity to War and Endgame, but also it's kind of hard for me to compare like a standalone movie like this
true.
A big ensemble like Avengers movie because they're just so different. But in any case, I would rate it with like an 8 out of 10, I think.
Yeah. Now, see, that's the thing. I checked a lot of the ratings online and stuff, and a lot of people are more towards the 8. But there's just a couple things maybe in the future movies when I see how things unfold. They might have been cleverly planting stuff here, which I'm sure they are.
Oh, they were definitely planting a whole bunch of stuff, including things that are to come in the MCU, but we'll get into that in our next episode.
Yeah, 7.5 for me. It was a good time.
Okay, excellent. All right. Well, this is going to wrap up our non-spoiler review of Spider-Man Far From Home. I hope everybody's enjoyed this episode of Mecha Dragon. Thanks for listening very much. And until next time, this is Captain Geek, your friend Will Marlow, signing off.
And I'm your Dark Nerd, otherwise known as the Snark Knight. You can follow us on mechadragon.net. We're on Facebook as Mecha Dragon. Twitter and Instagram, you can find us at Mecha Dragon Show. If you want to see, got any ideas who's going to be Spider-Man's next big villain, go ahead and shoot us an email at mechadragonshow@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks again. Peace out.
Now, if you enjoyed this episode or any of our other ones, you can support the show by leaving a 5-star review at Apple Podcasts. It actually really helps us out, guys. We'll even read our favorite reviews on the show. It should be lots of fun. So if you can do that, thank you. See you next time. Our music is Overworld by Kevin MacLeod from Incompetech.com, licensed under a Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0.